comparatively to the conference which just finished. This is like returning to many, many years back. Like in common life, you return to times when there were steamships and steam locomotives on railroads. But it's returning to a little bit less remote past, end of 60s. That time, hyperbolicity was uniform and in all directions. I don't know how to say, completely say in Russian. There was notion of hyperbolic set introduced by Smale about 5 years earlier. Assume we have diffeomorphism of a manifold, and we have compact invariant set F. It is called hyperbolic. If restriction of tangent bundle of M over this F is Whitney sum of two sum bundles, stable and unstable, such that differential of our map preserves all this subspaces, bundles. So in more detail, ES of in point W is mapped into ES in point F of W. And the same about unstable. And why they are called stable and unstable? There exists such constant C and alpha, which is bigger than 1, that on unstable building business, T, F, taken many times, applying to tangent vector Y, I shall take unstable business X, and stable, contrary to this, will be Y. It stable goes to unstable, and its length is estimated as I shall write here. And as regards to unstable, so this is for Y here, and for X in unstable situation is opposite. So tangent vectors from stable bundle contract upon our map, and an unstable subspace expand. Nowadays, for those who knows about Pseudo-Anosov quasi-diffeomorphism, situation is quite opposite. In unstable, in what is denoted there by U, everything contracts, and what is denoted there by S expands. That's perhaps why they are called pseudo. I asked Thurston whether this was made intentionally. One can give some reasons for changing names, but he honestly answered that this happened by chance. Here stands some constant C, but one can prove that one can introduce another Riemannian metric, Lyapunov metric, which I call it because of analogy which Lyapunov functions and Lyapunov quadratic forms, especially in the stability theory, so that there will be no this annoying constant C. Constant makes no harm, but the life without it is slightly more comfortable. Proof is easy, but I simply have no time to dwell on it, and I think I can suppose this to be well known. Now I will formulate the theorem or lemma which is my main goal. Notions. Epsilon pseudo trajectory. I shall say simply usually epsilon trajectory, because this epsilon indicates that it is not usual trajectory, but something like it. It's just a sequence of points where n runs over all integers, such that f of wn, in case of true trajectory, it would be wn plus 1, but it is not wn plus 1, it is only very close to it. Of course, this notion itself has nothing to do with hyperbolic sets, it's a general notion, and was studied by Conley in a quite different setting. Now, family of these things. It is the following thing. It is some topological space, say X, and some homeomorphism of X into itself. It was F, now it will be G, homeo. And it is map, say phi, of X into our manifold M, where we have diffeomorphism. And why it is pseudo-trajectory? Any trajectory of Gn maps on the phi into epsilon trajectory of Fn. In other words, rho between phi G X for all X in space X, rho phi G X and F phi X is less than epsilon. When epsilon equals to zero, our definition formally is not applied, because distance cannot be less than zero, but you can easily understand that for epsilon equals to zero, we get definition of trajectories and definition family of trajectories. And now here is theorem. So assume again we have hyperbolic set. What? Trajectory, I said, of G or of Gn, this is sequence of point Gnx. Here is N. Then, for any epsilon, there exists delta, epsilon of delta, of course, always positive, such that for any family of delta trajectories, значит, what is family? It's topological space. It is map onto itself, and it is map of the whole this business somewhere, such that it is close to F, there exists family of trajectories. With the same x, the same j, and some continuous map c, such that phi and psi are c0 epsilon close. This means that for all x's, phi of x, distance between phi of x and psi of x is less than epsilon. And what? Pardon? Phi is image, phi of x is image of x of subset. Yes. F is hyperbolic set, and image of x is very close to F, not necessarily in F itself, but what is main here is that each trajectory of G in X maps into epsilon trajectory of F. What I mean? The family of delta trajectories in space M. What is the question about it?
The last line that says capital F G star.
Where? Here? Yeah. Well, X and G are the same,
exactly.
But psi is some slight is the same as phi, slightly deformed. I can slightly correct my family of epsilon trajectories in order to get trajectories. Yes, of course. It will be just the matter of my second example, but before second example, I shall tell you the first example. Assume you have the map. For simplicity, I shall take map of two-dimensional plane. It does not matter. The diffeo, of course, and here is fixed point of hyperbolic type. So it has unstable manifold and stable manifold. And assume that these manifolds intersect without tangency, and of course do not coincide. Such point Q is called homoclinic point. They were discovered by Poincaré, and perhaps not everybody here knows that there was a detective story that, first of all, Poincaré did not pay attention to this homoclinic points. He thought that if these two manifolds intersect, they coincide, as it is in the case of flow on the plane. And he got the prize awarded by King Oscar II, and the Arrhenius paper was published in Acta Mathematica. And then a year later, the mistake was discovered, and Poincaré wrote a new version, and Mittag-Leffler managed to get back all copies of Acta Mathematica, which was sent, already sent to readers, and replaced them by new one. And Poincaré spent on reprinting the new edition of Acta Mathematica, all the price which he got from King Oscar, plus approximately one half of this price. So this illustrates the well-known thesis that scientists work not for money. But of course, instead of money, he got the fame, not so much in that time, but very much nowadays, beginning approximately for 60s, Then Maclinic points became very popular both in pure mathematics and in applied mathematics, or in things called applied mathematics, where they are connected to another popular word, chaos. So let it be Maclinic point. This point lies on stable manifold, so its images on the map tend to pair. It also lies on unstable manifold, so its inverse images also tend to pair. Thus, we have a sequence of points F and Q, which, of course, is not compact. And in order to make it compact, we add to it the point P, denoted by F. F is clearly compact invariant set of our gomeomorphism, and it is easy exercise to see that it is hyperbolic. In point P, stable, well, I shall draw picture better. Stable submanifold is tangent to stable manifold. Unstable submanifold is tangent to unstable manifold. It is clear that under our map, they go into each other. So really, in point P, original point, I take the also tangent spaces to these manifolds. They exist there by definition, so to say. So we get splitting of tangent space in any point F and Q into S F and Q plus E, U, F, and Q. And it is easy to in this point, there is no question whether the splitting is continuous or not, because this is a discrete sequence of points. But they accumulate to point P, and there, ESP by definition tends to, ESQ, excuse me, by definition tends to ESP, because it is tangent to the same invariant manifolds. And it is easily proved that EU, F and Q tends to U, EUP, because near this point, things look approximately like this. I shall draw as if the stable and unstable manifolds are direct lines, also generally they are curvilinear. If I have such space, in this case such straight line in tangent space, then under maps it becomes almost perpendicular to this horizontal line. So if the space is transversal to tangent to contracting one space, then it, we make iteration, it tends to unstable direction. And also when we are here to this point, there is big contraction in this direction. When we were not close to this point, first we were here. And here there is also contraction in directing on expanding manifold. So there is also some intermediate period where we do not know whether there is contraction, expanding, or anything else. Would it be possible to speak of something else? But if we have exponent here, and something between them, we of course have uniform exponent everywhere. So this proves that the same arguments can be applied to another space, S. And so this proves that the set which I constructed here is hyperbolic set. Now, this is once more in abstract setting, a system of points which accumulate to this point, and I can easily construct a closed epsilon pseudo trajectory, keeping only these points. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. So I have space of 10 points, make cyclic permutation of them, and these points are mapped as here, and this mapping is always by our map F, except for this point where I artificially informs this point to jump here. So clearly I get an epsilon trajectory, and there must exist, if epsilon is small enough, and thus 10 is big enough, so the distance here is very small, there exists true periodic trajectory of period 10. A 10 can be arbitrarily large, so this proves that close to Hermocleanic point, there exist infinite number of periodic points. The statement, which I don't know whether was proved by Poincaré, was proved by Birgov, in two-dimensional case at least. Then it was proved by Smale, but assuming, imposing some special conditions on our map in these points, which are not necessary. Well, for first research paper in unknown area, it, one could impose as much additional conditions as it is necessary for first steps, but they are not necessary, as you see. I spoke only about periodic trajectory. There exists complete description of what happens in the neighborhood of the orbit of Hermocleanic points. In full generality, it was performed by Shilnikov, and this technique allows to obtain his results quite easily, in the same way as I obtained existence of closed trajectories. So it was first example. Second example is the thing which made me well known in beginning of 60. Assume that the whole M is hyperbolic set. In this case, the diffeomorphism is called Anosov diffeomorphism, and there is theorem about structural stability of Anosov diffeomorphisms. So here I still have map F, and the statement is that for all G which are C1 close to F, there exists map C M to M, which transforms trajectories of G, let it be this direction, into trajectories of F. Homeomorphism close to identity in C0 topology. Proof. Consider family of epsilon trajectories M, G, and identity. As G is close to F, there exists such map as I just formulated. Theorem is proved, except for one gap. The gap is just about what Lubitsch asked me. It is semi-conjugacy and not true conjugacy. One great mathematician forgot about it, by the way. But I haven't forgotten. The property we must use, by the way, here we did not use that this is C1 close. It can be C0 close as well. So we must use something else. This something else is called, I don't know what is precisely English, separation of motions, разделение движений, Мишень. Expensiveness. Again, the property is defined independently of any diffeomorphisms. F is called expensive if there exists such constant D, constant of in Russian separation, and here what, of expensiveness, yes, such that if for any points x and y, if for all n the distance between points of trajectories f and x, f and y is less than d, then x equals to y. I shall sketch the proof that for Anosov case, for example, the system is expensive. This is not precisely what I need. What I would need would be the following, that all nearby systems are also Anosov, it is well known, and that there exists the, this constant D, which is common for all these systems. The proof goes more or less in the same way as for the single system, modulo some additional conversations. So if you will believe me that there exists some D for our systems, perhaps you will believe also that there exists such D for all nearby systems. Assume we already know this. Then it cannot be so that two different trajectories of G would map into one trajectory of F, because this map is epsilon shift. So one is shifted a little bit, another is shifted a little bit, so they are within a small distance. But if we know that two trajectories of G, which remain forever within a small distance, are the same, then it cannot be that they must coincide. And so the map is injective. And topology guarantees us that small epsilon shift, be it injective or not, is onto. So we have homeomorphism, and we are through modulo this theorem, of course. Now let us return to our theorem about family of epsilon trajectories. In this theorem, I said that the family of epsilon trajectories is in, the proof of this theorem was, first proof was very involved and never published. Second proof was slightly less involved and was published, not by me, by the way, by Shoup and Katok. It was based on proof of structural stability of Anosov diffeomorphisms given by John Mazur. But today I will give a sketch of a proof which I think is not involved at all. And by the way, its main ingredients are already well known. Essentially, what I need for this proof is the following theorem, which is known, which is due well for Anosov systems to myself, essentially, also not explicitly, and for general case of a system in a neighborhood of hyperbolic set, it is due to Bowen I think even explicitly. Well, does there exist white chalk or only colored chalks because of progress? No, it's empty. Thank you. So this is the following theorem. Again, for any epsilon which is positive, there exists, we have a hyperbolic set, of course, delta, such that for any delta trajectory Wn, which is completely contained in a small in delta neighborhood of our hyperbolic set F, there exists true trajectory which is epsilon close to Wn. It is for all n, the distance between Fn Z0, Wn is less than epsilon. And of course it follows that this trajectory is again in a small neighborhood of our hyperbolic set, because semi-trajectory was in a small was at a small distance, and we move a little bit again. This theorem is basically well known. Maybe especially well known it is in the case, then, particular case, when all our original pseudo-trajectory is in set F. General cases easily reduces to this, because if we are in a small neighborhood of F, I can move a little bit each point Wn into another point, say Un, which is Nf, and this is still not delta semi-trajectory, but delta plus something, three delta semi-trajectory, and if three delta is small enough, then again there exists true trajectory close to this, and being close to this Un, it is also close to original Zn. So it is enough to prove this theorem for pseudo-trajectories in original hyperbolic set. Now, how much time do I have? Okay. What shall I do? Of course, I shall not prove anything. Especially, I shall not prove this theorem, first of all, because it is crucial, second, because basically it is well known. But I shall give a sketch of it. And then I shall explain why it is enough for all this business which was originally so complicated. How to prove this theorem? But first of all, how to prove expansiveness? We have a sequence of points on trajectory. Let it be trajectory now. X, 0, X1, here is X minus 1, and so on. And we have maps of small neighborhoods of these points. This is just our map F, which we are studying. In each neighborhood, small neighborhood, we use special coordinates. I take tangent vector txn, a vector which is tangent to our manifold. First of all, I shall denote it by x, but then notation will be changed. And if it is small enough, say less than r, then the exponential map moves, centered at point xn, moves it to some point close to xn. Exponential map is a well-known thing. This is point xn. This is my vector xc. I take a geodesic line passing through point xn at zero moment of time and having velocity xc, move along it with constant velocity xc time 1, and this is the point where I come. It is well known, this construction, of course, depends upon the Riemannian metric used. I shall use Lyapunov metric. I have not said, but it is again well known that this metric can be made C infinity, because if you replace it by sufficiently close metric, the Lyapunov property contains. So I consider this map in terms of these local coordinates. And in tangent space, I have splitting into two subspaces, stable and unstable ones. And thus I get the map. Xi is represented as par pair of, I shall again allow, no, you and V I shall write. Oh, you again is bad. No, any letter is bad. X belong to unstable, but it is in point. Instead of xn, I shall write now wn. The science must flourish in China and Japan, where there are thousands of hieroglyphs. no difficulties with notation. Y belongs to E S W N. The differential of our map F is described by the map X Y maps to X prime Y prime, where X prime belongs to unstable manifold and point n plus 1, and y prime belongs to stable in the same point. And these maps are linear. X prime equals to a n x, y prime equals to b n y. A n expands, b n contracts. It is linear map. As regards to nonlinear map, of course, it looks as following. Here are added some nonlinear terms, which are smooth, phi n of x, y, psi n of x, y. All this depends on n, but all this can be made uniformly. And so phi n and psi n are smooth functions defined in small than x and y are not bigger than some number, and they their derivatives at zero is zero, and they have small Lipschitz constant. What is more important here is small Lipschitz constant uniformly for all n, and if I make vicinity, if I make all this x one to y less, the Lipschitz constant also becomes less. After I have done this, I can easily prove expansiveness. Indeed, if I assume that fny is always very close to fnw, and not y even, z perhaps, in this place, I remember my beloved literature hero, Baron von Munchausen. He served in the Russian army, by the way, and at the war with Turkey, once, he jumped on the gun ball hydro, fly a cannonball. Cannonball and sitting on cannonball flew to over the heads of first his troops and enemies and saw everything. Now he was busy, of course, with and then he jumped to another cannon and cannonball and returned. He was interested, of course, in observing disposition of enemy and not in mathematics. But he was dealing with mathematics. He would say that he felt himself as non-moving, standing at standard position one, but cannon guns, cannon balls close to him, the moving relatively him. And it is just what we make here. Yes, WN is Munchausen sitting on cannon ball, and ZN is nearby cannon ball. And we describe motion of nearby cannonball with respect to Munchausen. So we have, assume we have such trajectory. W is Munchausen, so he is zero identically, sitting on his cannon. And Z, F and Z, is in this sense represented by sequence of point Xn, Yn. And we have such system sequence of maps. Xn goes to Xn plus 1 according to this. Here I wrote Xn x prime, but it is now n and n plus 1. And one can easily prove that if distance between two nearby cannon balls is always small, then Xn and Yn are always small, so Munchausen really can observe the nearby cannon ball. And we have something like Xn plus Yn is less than, maybe not 2, but because the distance slightly changes when I go to tangent vector, 2D, for example, very crude estimate. Small, it remains small. Now it turns out that if it is small, if for some n, I return again for a moment to this language, x is not less than y, modulo f, then first x prime is not less than y prime, and second x prime is bigger than, I had some number alpha, if you remember, in definition of hyperbolic set, alpha related to f. Alpha was bigger than 1. Now I shall take beta, which is slightly less than alpha, but still bigger than 1. Here, x prime is bigger than beta x. It's a very trivial estimate, and well known, of course. What does it prove? Assume that for a moment xn will be bigger than yn. Then it will always remain bigger while it is in small vicinity. And it is bigger than xn plus 1 is bigger than beta n, than beta square, and so on, so on, so on. It grows and leaves the vicinity. So the only possibility remains that yn is always bigger than xn. But then we go backwards, like Munchausen, who jumped to the cannonball. Going from Turkish cannon and flew to Russian position. Mathematically, this means reversal of time. And now yn, if 1n is bigger than xn, yn minus 1 will be even bigger, and so on and so on, and we are through. And this proves expansiveness. It proves expansiveness only for our system, this f, but not the uniform expansiveness for nearby systems. For nearby systems, we must understand what would happen with Munchausen in the case if the cannon is made so poorly that the cannonball does not follow its trajectory as it must do, but instead of this flies only along the epsilon trajectory. Deviates from its own trajectory. This is some contradiction, of course, in this words, but still. What will happen? The picture which he observes will slightly change. Again, of course, xy goes to x prime, y prime, but a, n, and b, n is not the map, because a, here is point w, it goes to f, W, and here are EF, EL, and it goes here to corresponding EU, EF. But the cannon ball, because imperfections of cannon, instead of flying here where it must fly, flies here, jumps here to another point. But this another point is very close to that point. And still, sitting here, Munchausen can observe almost the same vicinity as from here. Now, assume that we have such... we can write equation, how coordinates change, then split them into stable and unstable part, and we have the same equation, again with uniform estimates. They become slightly worse, but it doesn't matter. Only now phi and psi n are not zeros at zero, because the point where trajectory really goes is that point, but 0, 0 is this point. But still they are small, uniformly small. They are also members of first order in phi and psi, because directions in point where the cannon ball goes is different from direction in point of true trajectory. But again, this is small. So basically we have all the same estimates as before. First of all, we see that we really have expansiveness for nearby systems with uniform D. But second, what is more important is the following, that we can prove that such system of maps, x n, y n goes to x n plus 1, y n plus 1, infinite, doubly infinite sequence, has a unique bounded sequence. And this unique bounded sequence describes the unique, at the moment we need not even to know that it is unique, describes the trajectory which is close to our semi-trajectory. So that's all, and as you see, it is not very complicated, and basically is well known. Okay, but I wanted to prove theorem about many family of trajectories, not about one trajectory. And how shall I do it? Very easily. Phi gnx is epsilon delta, or whatever else you want, trajectory. And we have the same deltas for all these semi-trajectories. So for all of them, there exists trajectory close to corresponding semi-trajectory. This trajectory, which is trajectory of some point, fn, of some point, this point depending on x, and this I call, how I called it, psi, psi of x. Now to each point x, there corresponds point psi of x, and epsilon, or delta, better to say, delta semi-trajectory phi gn of x is close to true trajectory psi fn of x. Does it follow that psi of x depends upon x continuously? This is the only thing I have to prove. Yes, it does, because of its uniqueness, because of expansiveness property. So situation is the following. In our family of trajectories, I have two points, x and y. And there are trajectories, xn equals to gnx, yn equals to gny. Now, under the map phi, it goes to some points u and v. And there are trajectories fnu, fnv. Oh, I beg your pardon, not yet. There are un equals to phi gnx, vn equals to phi gny. And there are two trajectories close to them. But let us prove, what I want to prove is continuity. So I must take not one point y, but a sequence of point y, y, which tends to x. And so here I also have one trajectory in x arising from x and sequence of trajectories arising from y. Now it goes to one semi-trajectory in space x and to sequence of semi-trajectories arising from y. And they are approximated by true trajectory z and by true true trajectories and this z zero is by definition psi of x and this w I not are by definition psi of y e. And what I need to prove is that w tai tends to z zero. I argue by contradiction. Assume it does not tend. There exists subsequence tending to something. I shall assume that this is the same sequence. W I 0 tends to to few letters. X, Y, Z, W. Okay, let it be. So what I have? X, Y, V, Z, W.
Yeah.
Okay, let it be gamma 0. Now situation is the following. Trajectories W I depend upon N. At the initial moment, they are close to gamma. So they are close to gamma for some long time. It converges, sequence WIN converges to sequence gamma N in compact open topology, to speaking, or on any finite interval of time. Now, this sequence gamma N is uniformly close, no, it is not uniformly close to anything, but W is uniformly close to V E N. And now I try to compare sequence passing through point Z with sequence passing through point gamma. Sequence passing through point Z is sequence Zn approximating Un. And where is Un in my picture? They are here. Vin is close to un. Why? Because x and y are close, y tends to x. So on finite, again, I have convergence, compact open topology y I tends to x n on any finite, in any finite set of points n. So, and phi is continuous. I don't know continuity of psi, but phi is continuous map. So again, Vn is close to un in compact open topology. So that's all what I need, or anything else. Ah, and Yn is close to Zn uniformly. So finally, I see that on finite, in, on finite set of numbers, that n is close to gamma n. And this final set can be arbitrarily large, provided I take sufficiently big I. So gamma equals to Z, and the map psi is continuous, and the theorem is proved. And I can only thank you for your attention. What?
Did you say how you selected
V0? Where?
This is trajectory, Vn
equals Fn. Ah, this is theorem. This trajectory, if it exists, must be explained by some sequence in Münchhausen coordinates, Xn, Yn. Xn, Yn maps to Xn plus 1, Yn plus 1, which equals to an, as written here, xn, plus phi n of xn, yn. And here again, bn, yn, plus psi n, xn, yn. Theorem that under the properties which I have, there exists unique small solution bounded in both directions. Theorem essentially goes back to Perron, I think. Of course, Perron did not have maps of linear spaces. One E goes into, he had maps of numbers. But this is the same. You work only with norms. And so it doesn't matter that they are lying in different spaces. The theorem is proved using the usual successive approximations or contracting map. It is a step backward because in the proof which you know, one used Banach implicit function theorem. Yes, the difference for flow is that it is flows, as you said. In case of flows, everything changes because you see, for, first of all, there can be not be precisely the same theorem about epsilon trajectories because you can shift some, if you even do not change the trajectory, but you can change its parametrization. Yes? So you definition of epsilon trajectory and theorem of semi-conjugacy, it will not be semi-conjugacy anymore. It will be something similar to it, but it admits reparametrization with small change of time, small on, well, after big period of time, change can be big. On each small interval of time, change is small, which was forgotten by one great mathematician as well. But basically, the proof is the same. Original proof was more complicated, but essentially, if I dare to compare myself with Michelangelo, I have done the following. I took the big stone and removed everything redundant.